2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. If you're not signed up with us yet, now is the best time to do so. Use the promo code WIN, W-I-N. Get yourself 7 free days to check out what we got going on here behind the barrack walls. With that, you get access to our MLB VIP lineups tools, all of that great information, along with Burnsy's Analytics Corner that you get. Our buddy Keith, who's also joining us on the podcast today, does fantastic job at the VIP lineups page. A lot of great information against handedness of pitcher. Also with that, you get to check out the Domination Station. It's not NFL season yet, but you can still get golf and NASCAR lineups done. Up to 150 lineups in the snap of a finger. All of that available on DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code WIN, W-I-N, to check us out for 7 free days. I'm your host, Sal Walsh. Twitter is where you find me at 14a.walsh. You can also find my co-host Keith Hall there as he types away like a maniac on the keyboard. Find him at Boomer's DFS Daddy. Welcome back from the weekend. And as we were talking about on the before we hit record on the podcast button, we are one of the only shows in town now that SiriusXM has basically done away with all their MLB content for the rest of the season.
Yep, it is July 31st, which means not only is it payday, because Kevin is very prompt on that, getting it to us the day before. Actually, I think it was in the account yesterday. It is August 1st, which means, one, not only is my birthday on Saturday, but that means I am now in live final prep mode, and that means I am down to a single lineup. That means I am narrowing down my research process, and that means that NFL season is literally right around the corner as I try to juggle three times as many NFL fantasy football drafts this year as I did last year.
Oh, boy. Well, number one, don't forget, today's the trade deadline day, so we're going to have to look out.
And that, yes.
Yeah, we're going to have to look at with that today in our player pool selection. And also, too, just as we mentioned with football, first a preseason game is actually on Thursday, the Hall of Fame game there in Canton. Your boys in that one going up against the Cardinals there.
Yes, and from what I've been hearing out of Cowboys camp, they can't wait to start hitting somebody other than their own, because if they continue to hit their own players, we're not going to have a roster. I mean, you're going to be called to play for the Dallas Cowboys by the time
they get there. Well, I'm going to decline that invitation because
shut up. You would not turn down a minimum salary contract in the NFL to go out there and play while somebody got healthy.
No, the Cowboys are the one team that I would turn down.
You're going to turn down $500K for a couple weeks to go work your butt off to go play and say you played in the NFL.
I'm a gritty slot receiver. A lot of teams in the NFL need that. I mean, you should have seen me in flag football last season.
Yeah, but how many teams are
knocking
at your door?
There were three on my lawn this morning. There were three.
Okay, the Cleveland Browns do not count as an NFL team.
Yeah, but the Jaguars do.
Ooh.
Yeah. And they got a pool in their stadium. So, you know, again, you ever get a little lukewarm, you take a dip in the pool or one of the many lakes in the Florida state. So, you know, it's actually, speaking of the Florida state, we're going to be spending all of September down in the Coral Gables, Miami area. So got some family down there, going to take it down there for the month. And guess what? Since I'll be in the Miami Coral Gables area, Tampa Bay Buccaneers there week one. So definitely an invitation I could not pass up.
Yeah, I mean,
don't worry, Keith. The mic, all that's coming down south with me. So don't you worry.
Okay, good.
Don't you worry, bro.
Good.
Owen's not leaving anybody hanging there. So, an abbreviated slate we do have here today for the MLB. My Phils and those lowly Braves. Actually, the Phils going for a sweep this afternoon today. Four-gamer variety, so that should be cool. But
your rare four-gamer that starts on a Friday and ends on a Monday. Is one of them a makeup game?
I really don't know. I have no idea.
Oh, my God. Come on.
I mean, I pay attention when the games are on, but all this other stuff. I mean, come on. We've been done so far now, so no issue there. But eight games on today's slate, which we got to get to. But we'll do it position by position. We've got to start on the hill. As I mentioned, that is the new format that I like going by now. But who are you looking at on the hill today?
I think the first option that you have to go to, and I think he's going to be pretty chalky, is going to be Luis Severino. I just don't know how he's not chalky. I know it's Detroit, but Detroit against right-handed pitching has not been very good. Plus, they just got a little bit weaker with Alex Avila and probably more than likely going to the Cubs. And we were talking about this before. How would you like to be the Avilas at Thanksgiving? I'd like to be a fly on the wall. Grandpa or Dad, you traded me. Thanks for trading me to the Cubs, but you traded me. So he's the first father to trade his son. I think since they said the Eisenhower administration.
Oh, wow.
So,
really throwing it back there.
Yeah, no kidding. So yeah, that was, that's nice.
You know, what's funny, if I'm Severino, I kind of want Alex Avila in that lineup with the way he's been hitting lately.
Yeah, no kidding. 189 WOBA, 0.00 ISO versus right-handed pitching over the last 30 days.
And speaking of Detroit catchers, your boy McCann hit his first homer yesterday since, I believe, July 2nd. The only problem was that it came off of Tyler White.
Yeah. Hey, so a homer's a homer in the record books.
Indeed, indeed. But yeah, I mean, everything you're saying with Severino matches up. The Vegas metric looks great. Opened at -179, currently at -235 here. Though all those numbers look great. And again, you just have no idea what this Tigers lineup is going to look like come lineup lock time after this trade deadline. Because yeah, it's Avila, but you know, crazy stuff can happen here at the deadline. If they get the right deal, some of these other guys could be on the move.
Yeah, we got a lot of fluidity going on today, and normally this is what the end of July usually is, but we've got to pay attention today. It's just a lot of stuff can happen. I think there's going to be one or two guys that are moved that we don't like realize are going to get moved, like we haven't heard about. It's just there's a lot of movement this year. Over, you know, last couple years have been kind of like dead. and no longer is that a case ability.
So that's case in point with my Rockies. The Mets, you got Lucroy yesterday. Nice defensive deal for you guys. Maybe the Mile High City helps them with the stick. But, he was in Texas, so, you know.
Yeah, we can hit. And that's not the point, but the point is that, you know, there's a possibility there for him to help bring along this younger pitching staff that we have as far as the starters. And that's the main reason why we did the deal. Not that Walters can't do it. But he does have some, you know, some pop with the bat. We've seen it before, when he was in Milwaukee, and, we were talking about it in our Slack channel this morning. We just don't think he was happy in Texas. So, which is kind of ironic because of the fact that he waived his no trade clause to go to Texas.
Interesting. Interesting. Yes. I I've never really spent any good time in Texas. I know our boy Wags calls that place home, but, never been. Gotta get.
Nothing to really laugh about.
Yes. Yes.
The best thing in that place is in Arlington and it's AT&T Stadium. That's the best thing in Texas.
Okay. Okay. The ladies, you know, they all seem like a bunch of shrieks. So,
you can find good ladies anywhere you go.
That's what I would be going to. Yeah. So, all right. So Severino here, looking like the top option. Obviously the ballpark's not that great. And again, too, with the Yankees, with their new, an improved bullpen out there, that, I guess those are the only cons you could say about Severino today on this eight game slate. But, look, we have seen
how would the bullpen be a con? You think that Girardi's going to have a quicker hook?
Yeah, that was my angle. I mean, yeah, the bullpen can certainly hold the lead down for him, but you know, if, you know, let's say a couple pitches, a couple more pitches than we like get fouled off. Again, I'm trying to nitpick here on an 8-game slate, so we got things to talk about.
Well,
but, yeah.
there's not things to really that you can nitpick about because the rest of the rest of the pitching options are kind of
I got one for you. I got a couple maybe.
I don't know about that.
All right. Well,
I'm willing to stack against any single one of these pitchers except for maybe one. And even then, I can make a justification for it.
Do you remember back in April when Luis Severino was the chalk and you were like so against it, and now here we are, the final day of July, and I can't pry you away from it.
Well, I mean, that's because his matchup is just so good. Like, I mean, Severino's due for aggression according to Sierra, and it's still the lowest Sierra on the slate. That's Jeez. How good he's been. He's got the lowest whip. He's got one of the higher. He's got the highest strikeout percentage. He's got one of the lower walk percentages. I mean, you go through his DFS Army stat page on the Starting Pitcher Hub, and you just go green, 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 green. The only thing that's red that pops up is the opponent K percentage over the last 30 days.
Oh my!
That's the only thing that pops up.
All right, let's see here. I have got...
Doug Fister, I'm hanging up the phone.
Don't worry. He's not going to... Okay. When we talk about offense, we'll talk about him. But Gio Gonzalez is pretty interesting here today. And this one's more or less with his history against the Marlins. Sure, he's got 10 quality starts in his last 11 outings. But did you know, against current members of the Marlins, he's only allowed 11 extra base hits, one of those only being a homer, in 206 plate appearances. You go down the list of all of these guys here from the Marlins, and, you know, Gio Gonzalez has basically held them all in check. Christian Yelich, D. Gordon, Marcelo Zuna, JT Realmuto all have hit for a good average against him. But, again, there's just not too many extra base hits in this one. Again, Gio has just been fairly solid. As I mentioned, the 10 quality starts and 11 tries, those are all great numbers. Obviously the Marlins, I picked on them yesterday, so I think karma could maybe get me if I go to them 2 days in a row, but, it's very hard to shy away from those numbers that Gio has.
Yeah. And I mean, the Marlins, if you just go by the history, they're going to have to string some wins or some hits together in order to score off of them, which they can do. I mean, they're not a bad hitting ball club, especially the top part of that lineup. I don't mind it. I really don't. But we've seen Gio just kind of have days where he goes out there and just, like, isn't even in the same zip code. But he would probably be the number two. I think these two are your top chalky options tonight. And it's unfortunately, it's not even close. The only other one I can see that could be chalky, and it's going to depend on whether or not he gets traded. I mean, there's a lot of talk circulating this guy is Sonny Gray, just the way he's been pitching. He's going up against the Giants, and we'll know, but I still think that there's going to be a percentage of the DFS population tonight that is afraid to go to him because of the trade talk that it has been circulating.
Yeah, I would think without a doubt. I mean, he's going to get traded. Pretty much everything that I've heard it's a definite. As one insider said, who will Sonny Gray be pitching for when August rolls around? Basically said, not the A's. So I think a deal is going to get done. Basically, what I've been hearing about him is it's a lot of playing chicken right now, and you know, certain teams don't want to give up certain prospects, and I think it's just going to come down to that last second. But I think he'll be gone.
The Yankees are the big talk right now. If you were watching MLB Network this morning, it's a big thing. So let's talk about this, okay? If Sonny Gray does not get dealt,
mm-hmm.
knowing that there is that cloud of suspicion around him, knowing that this could be. Because just because he's not dealt today doesn't mean he wouldn't get dealt in August. Because this is basically the non-waiver trade deadline. They still have a waiver trade deadline, but that's a little complicated, and I won't go into that.
Thank God.
But but say he does not get dealt by 4 p.m. Eastern today. Okay.
All right.
Would you have any qualms about rolling him out there tonight to get off of the Luis Severino early game chalk in tournaments?
I think it's interesting because, number one, sure, the matchup is fantastic. However, the other one, I mean, all this trade talk has to screw with your head, right? You probably got some boxes packed already. You know, you know, just trying to think of this from a human aspect, but there's probably things that are going on behind the scenes that we don't even see or even think about. So, you know, is his head going to be in the right place? I don't know. Unfortunately, with the A's, you know, we've seen them not strike out as much at times. Tell that to Hyunjin Ryu last night. But, you know, again, he's going to be taking on the A's without the pitcher. He gets a DH instead. You know, those kind of things. So, I could see Sonny Gray doing a good job, but I think there are a couple factors that would negate him from having a huge night, like a Severino type of night.
And here's the next question. If he does get dealt, does that change your opinion of going to the Giants' bats, depending on who's pitching? And obviously that's something that we'll have to touch on, you know, in Slack later on as we,
right,
you know, find out and figure out and understand. But, you know, a guy, and I'm sure they've probably prepped somebody, whoever's going to stop.
Paul Blackburn is on pregame.com. There, he's listed as the actual starter on that site.
Okay, so they've done that. So,
and Blackburn, by the way, hasn't been that bad.
No. He hasn't.
2.25 ERA, 1.06 WHIP. You know, you look at his numbers. I mean, the strikeouts aren't there. I mean, only 12 of them in 32 innings, but he's doing a great job of limiting damage.
Yeah, and my whole question was if, you know, because we know that pitchers are creatures of habit, and we've talked about this a lot. But if somebody if somebody gets thrown in there, you know, because of, you know, possibly getting traded, and thank God this is a late game, then you have to think about, you know, possibly loading up the Giants because of the fact that, you know, now you're getting somebody out of their routine. But if they've prepped this guy, if it indeed is Paul Blackburn, then I don't think that I have any interest in the Giants' bats, except for maybe like a one-off or something. Now, what's interesting is if we go to, and this hasn't been released yet, as far as on our site and our our site and our DFS Army lineups page, but if you go to what I call my X Factor Stadium ranking, which is basically a DFS Army way of saying my ballpark factor. Mm-hmm. Oakland Alameda Coliseum is actually, or O.co, whatever they want to call it nowadays.
I believe it's O.co.
Is actually the third best overall hitter's ballpark this season.
That's fantastic.
So that's now fantastic. The hits are middle of the road, but what adds to the ballpark is the walks that you get in that ballpark are almost their top three. The triples are number two, right behind Coors Field. And doubles are, I think, the top. Hold on. They are third. So, you know, this is something that I've been working on for a while, and Burns is actually working on incorporating these to the DFSA grades. So it's going to be a game changer. And I think this is where I'm going to find a late stack. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But, if it's Paul Blackburn and this gets announced earlier in the day, then I might have some interest there, depending. We'll have to see. If it's Sonny Gray and he doesn't get traded, I might have some interest there. If it's anybody else on the mound for Oakland, or if this turns into a quote-unquote bullpen game, then I'll shift my interest into possibly the Giants. But I wanted to talk about that situation because he's one of the hot commodities on the trading block today.
Absolutely. One of the names that I want to talk about, and I'm not going in this direction, but One that I think a lot of people will go to, and I think it's a huge mistake. Charlie Morton today going up against the Tampa Bay Rays. So Morton, we know, has reverse splits. He's been lights out against lefties this season. Right-handers, that's another story. So, and we know this about the Tampa Bay Rays. They can't hit left-handed pitching, but put the right-hander out there, things are going to go well. Take a look at the BVP history for these Rays, too, against Charlie Morton. And even the lefties in the Rays lineup are doing some damage against him. We can go down the list. Danny Hecheverria, Corey Dickerson, Wilson Ramos, Logan Morrison, Lucas Duda, Evan Longoria, Steven Sasso Jr. all have some BVP that makes you raise your eyebrows. Maybe Longoria and Sousa have done it in a short span, but still, they got two hits off of them. But all the splits work out here. Everything just lines up for a good Rays day. Houston, I believe, currently only -165 favorites on the money line in Vegas right now. Actually, 155, gone down a little. So I think that this is probably a nice spot to stay away from today in terms of pitching.
Yeah, I don't mind that. The only thing that scares me is their recent history against right-handed pitching that's under 300 wOBA, and they're striking out almost 27% of the time. So there could be a little bit of upside there for Morton. And the Astros ballpark is not, it's the third lowest. Like, it is not a hitter's ballpark. It's
hysterical.
Anymore. You know, the Crawford boxes do not play into consideration. This is something that I like about taking this year's numbers into effect is because it takes this year's offenses for those ballparks into effect. And Houston doesn't hit at home. So not only I understand they're one of the top offenses in the majors, but a lot of those numbers are kind of juiced up by being on the road. If you look at their home road splits as a team, they are far, far, far worse at home than they are on the road. And I know we've talked about the Jose Altuve home road splits, but it's a lot different. I think that's something that, you know, you've got to take into consideration. I don't think that the win is in consideration here. I think it's up for grabs. It's definitely, I mean, now you've got to add in Lucas Duda to this Houston lineup, who we know crushes right-handed pitching and has got some pop. Or sorry, not Houston, this Tampa Bay Rays lineup.
I just didn't want to interrupt.
That, you know, we already know that they've got Corey Dickerson and Logan Morrison. It's gonna be interesting.
And here we are, final day of July, and you know, Houston has such a huge lead in the NL West. But I'm wondering if you've noticed, but some of these Houston games, it's like they just stay. A couple of them stayed at the hotel. A couple of them showed up for the game, like, you know, that last game of the series against the Phillies earlier in the week, and the last game of the series against the Tigers yesterday, where they've just gotten absolutely blown out. Now, I know this isn't the last game of a series, quite the opposite, the first game of a series, but, you know, since they have such a huge lead, there's going to be days where they just don't show up mentally.
Yeah, and it's a little taxing on them right now because, you know, two of their top hitters are, you know, on the DL and probably not going to come back anytime in August. You know, they have no reason to rush these guys back. So I can see them. I don't see them winning the division by 20 games like everybody was predicting they would. Now, if they were fully healthy, I could probably see that, but I don't see it happening now. It kind of opens up my eyes a little bit, and it actually draws me a little bit of interest to Alex Cobb as a tournament play.
Yeah, Cobb has been interesting lately. His big thing, though, longevity, going into starts here today. So he's gotten at least 6 innings and 9 straight starts, at least 7 innings in 6 of the last 7 starts. His numbers on the road are a little worse, but, you know, that could be counteracted with the fact that the Astros haven't been that great at home either. You know, batters are hitting 70 points higher against them on the road than they are at home. But again, you know, if you are going to pick on the Astros, oddly enough, it is, you know, the place to do it is in Houston.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of think that. And that's one of the reasons.
Unless you're Aaron Nola, of course.
Yeah, no kidding. That was ridiculous.
All right, a couple other matchup-based plays here that are interesting. I know Danny Duffy hasn't been that great, but he does have fantastic numbers against members of the Orioles. A lot of these guys are just terrible. Adam Jones, 2 for 19, 9 strikeouts. Manny Machado, 1 for 14, 8 strikeouts. Chris Davis, 1 for 10, 4 strikeouts. Joey Rickard, 0 for 7, 3 strikeouts. A couple of those are interesting, but, you know, we did
Here's
just see.
Something else that makes it a lot more interesting.
All right.
His last start against Baltimore.
Uh-huh.
7 innings, 8 hits, 1 walk, 6 Ks, 2 earned runs, quality start, did not get the win. But he pitched well.
Right.
You know, he's more likely than not going to go 6 innings. You know, there's not a lot of times he doesn't. I don't mind taking a shot on Danny Duffy at 8,300 on FanDuel.
I'm so sad because Duffy was my dude last year, and now it seems like Brad Peacock is like the new Danny Duffy this year, which is like completely tilting my mind. But Danny Duffy, come back. Come back, man. It's crazy. He's done worse, and the Royals have gotten better. I don't get it. I don't get it. I know he only plays once every 5 days, but still, not cool, man. Not cool. I see early some interest on Marco Estrada here today against the White Sox. Obviously, the opponent is a good thing, but, well, Marco, let's be blunt. Marco Estrada is not a good thing. He's just been putting guys on base freely here over the last couple starts here. Just wanted to get the exact number on it. At least 4 walks in 6 of his last 7 starts. Has only made it past 5 innings twice in his last 10 starts, 2-5 with a 5.91 ERA and 12 road starts. Again, the only thing looking good here is his opponent. I mean, you take a look at this White Sox lineup, you know, it looks like a Triple A team now after all these trades. And, you know, it could get even worse if any other deals are made.
Yeah, since the 1st of June, only 3 starts have over 20 fantasy points on FanDuel. So I am not going to Marco Estrada. In fact, I would probably, depending on what lineup the White Sox roll out, I wouldn't mind going, you know, a little mini stacker, a couple one-offs that have some pop in there. Obviously, Melky Cabrera won't be in the lineup. He was traded yesterday to the Kansas City Royals. But, you know, it's still a lineup that's got guys, you know, like Jose Abreu and Tim Anderson. And here, hold on, I'm looking. Let's see. Matt Davidson has been crushing the ball. Yoan Moncada looks like he should have been up in the big leagues all year long now. He had a rough first, what, 4 or 5 starts. Then he just started absolutely crushing the ball. Yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind some of these White Sox bats, as like I said, Moncada and Davidson is a sneaky little stack at second base, third base on FanDuel, and it's only going to cost you $5,200 because it is 26 and 2700 respectively, so $5,300. I'm sorry.
Gotcha. 2 more matchup base plays. Well, actually, let's take a look. We'll just combine it all together. And then I still have another one after that. But the Mariners-Rangers matchup tonight, my favorite pitcher, according to Gilzilla, is Felix Hernandez going up against my old boy and 2008 World Series MVP, Cole Hamels. Good matchup if we're talking about 2008, but both guys have, you know, certainly taken a step back in their careers. Hamels actually has been pretty good at home this season, which has not been the case since coming to Texas. But this season, he is 4-0, 2.88 ERA and 5 starts at Globe Life Park. He has thrown at least 90 pitches in each start this season, which is good. But did face Seattle back on, oh boy, April 16th. Gave up 3 earned runs in 5 innings. Not exactly the greatest start, but we look on the other side of things. And Felix Hernandez has just phenomenal numbers against a good portion of the heart of this Rangers lineup. Adrian Beltre, Sinjin Chu, Mike Napoli, Rougned Odor, Robinson Chirinos have all struggled mightily against Felix over the course of their careers. However, Felix has really struggled against left-handed bats this season, and you know we know that the Rangers have plenty of them. He saw the Rangers back in April as well, ends up going 7 1/3 of an inning, got the win, all the fancy numbers with it, but only 3 strikeouts in that start. So not that fancy number, but you lean in either way in to one pitcher in this, or is this going to be an offensive fireworks explosion?
I don't think it's going to be offensive fireworks explosion. I've got some interest in some bats, but I don't have interest in pitchers. you know, they're just not. I'm trying to look here. Maybe on DK. I don't think there's a lot of upside here going this way. I mean, they're pretty much right around the same, 85 and 8400 for Hernandez and Hamels, respectively. But I can go get Michael Fulmer or Mike Clevinger for cheaper on DK. Yeah, I don't think I'm going there. I don't see a lot of potential for upside currently. And I like some of these bats, so I just can't do it.
Yep, certainly. Yeah, I'm not really in favor either way. I think there's certain matchups that you could play in this one, but again, not exactly my favorite. You mentioned the final guy that I wanted to talk about, Mike Clevinger, and the Red Sox weighted run created plus rating is by far the worst in the majors over the last 14 days. I think we could probably even go back further than that, but you know, their WRC plus is at like 45 over the last 14 days. It's just completely horrendous. To give you an idea, I believe the Phillies are at like 75 on the season, if I'm not mistaken, but I'm sure the numbers jumped up a little bit. I haven't even checked, but for the Red Sox, 45 is just downright terrible. Mike Clevinger's actually been really good on the road this season, 4-1, 2.15 ERA, opposing hitters only 157 against them in 7 road starts. So some of these numbers are pretty good, and obviously, you know, just the way that the Red Sox have been hitting lately, not exactly something that we should all be scared of.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's talk about some bats tonight. Any stacks that are jumping out before we get to positions?
Cleveland.
Okay.
I mean, going up against Doug Fister, obviously that's a good one. I like Oakland. Going up against Matt Cain, I've already talked about the ballpark factor in that one. Mm-hmm. But you know, you've got Matt Joyce, Jed Lowry, Chris Davis, Yonder Alonso, Matt Chapman, Bruce Maxwell. I think a lot of them are in play. You know, tonight going up against Matt Cain, and this is, you know, it would be like a Chris Davis, Yonder Alonso stack, or, you know, Chris Davis, Yonder Alonso, Ryan Healy, or Skip Healy and go down to Chapman and Maxwell. You know, it Chris Davis is going to be in this stack one way or another. So,
yes, yes, indeed. I love it. I love it. Other than that, I mean, if you want to get really sneaky, you know, we talked about the Rays earlier and all the splits in their favor. I know that you have the numbers there that, you know, not that have don't exactly have them crushing the ball lately. But, you know, again, for a deep tournament, that could be an interesting way to go.
Yeah, I think they'll be low owned. And we also have to look at the see how many lefties that the Toronto Blue Jays roll out, because we all know James Shields, you know, problems against left-handed hitters. So.
Indeed, and there's a certain righty, which we'll get to, in outfielders that completely owns Mr. Shields, so that'll be interesting to get to.
He looks horrible at the plate right now, though.
He certainly does. Maybe he should take the damn shades off when he's hitting. Thank you, Jack Parkman. I'm looking at the Orioles money line. They opened up at a plus 113. They're currently at a 105. I just saw this, so you know, those things are training up for them. They actually handled another lefty pretty damn well yesterday at Martin Perez. So we got that. But again, just something interesting to look at with the Vegas base plan.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's break it down position by position. What are you looking at behind the dish tonight?
I started out by looking at, you know, guys like Salvador Perez. But I think I'm going to go to – it's either going to be JT Realmuto if I decide to go like a little mini stack against Gio, just mm-hmm. because of the way he's been hitting the ball. Or I'm going all the way down to Bruce Maxwell. Okay. He's got power to put the ball out of the ballpark, but he's only $2,200. So if he only gets a couple singles and maybe a run scored or something like that, if he only gets – you know, if he can get me to 9 points, I'll be happy. because I'll take my chances on not a lot of – not a lot of other guys blowing up. One guy that is interesting is Mike Zunino against Cole Hamels. I don't know the BVP, so maybe you could help me out on that, but he does crush left-handed pitching. So that's interesting there. But, I mean, can you see anybody other than Gary Sanchez not being the chalk today? Or being the chalk today? Because I don't.
I think
people are
going to
gravitate.
Yeah, I think, you know, Fulmer, he's had one bad start in recent memory, but.
Yeah, but Yan Gomes, from what I remember, Yan Gomes kind of hits him pretty well.
Gary Sanchez, I mean? Yeah, Zunino.
Oh, you said Fulmer. I'm sorry.
Zunino is 1-for-5 against Hamill. It was a single. 2 strikeouts.
Yeah, I don't think I'm gonna go there then.
All right. I think it's gonna be
what it is.
You know, just given what we saw, you know, with the numbers there, I'm gonna be interested to see who's catching for the Orioles tonight. Whether that's gonna be Wellington Castillo, Caleb Joseph. I think Castillo might even be rumored in some trade talks, so that would be something to watch out for. But I think that could be an interesting way to go. Of course, you've got Evan Gattis on the slate, or I'm sorry, Brian McCann. Brian McCann has good BVP numbers against Cobb. He's 8-for-15 with 2 homers. So that could be a way to go. I mean, Russell Martin perhaps against James Shields. That could be an interesting way to go, depending on what, you know, the A's are throwing out on the mound today. You know, Buster Posey, he's only 3,100 on FanDuel. I feel like that's way too low.
Elvis Andrews has 109 plate appearances against Felix Hernandez.
Yep.
Holy cow, and has not homered once off of him.
By the way, I mean,
Salvador, but he only has 15 strikeouts.
Yes, he does. He's one of the pluses on the BVP numbers on today's article for Walsh's Way. But, I completely forgot that Ubaldo Jimenez was pitching for the Orioles. So, yeah, I really like the Salvi play.
Yeah.
All right.
I think for me it's Salvi, Realmuto, or
yes.
Bruce Maxwell.
Gonna say, how could we forget JT Realmuto?
And then, like we said, we have to wait and see how fluid the starter is in Oakland, because then Buster Posey might come into play.
Yep. JT Realmuto, by the way, has been bopping and rolling. 9-for-23, 2 doubles, 2 homers over his last 7 games. So 5 walks, 5 runs as well.
Yeah.
Good.
He's been playing.
I guess that'll happen when you play the Reds. Okay, let's move it over to first base. What you like in there?
Justin Smoke.
I figured you were going to say that. Be careful of the BVP monster here. Not good in Smoke's favor. But here's the thing, too. Again, I mentioned with... actually, we didn't mention it with James Shields, but he's a guy. He hasn't made it past the 5th inning in 4 of his last 6 starts. So, you know, again, probably going to see plenty of the Chicago bullpen. But, yeah, Smoke against Shields, 3-for-16. Does have a homer, 6 strikeouts. Hey, you know, BVB. Batter Bros bullpen has been working out pretty well for us this week. So,
yeah, it sure has.
But yeah, Smoke, probably, you know, again, he's going to be popular. Kenji Morales, the other Toronto first baseman, 2,800, significant price decrease from that of Justin Smoke. So that might be something to look at as well. I don't mind that. You got Eric Hosmer going up against Ubaldo Jimenez. If I'm not mistaken, he's got pretty good BVP numbers against him. That could be a good way to go. Yeah, Hosmer, 11-for-30, a double, 2 homers, 8 walks, 5 strikeouts. Good numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's first base is kind of – it's loaded, but if you look down, it's really not. I really kind of like – because you got to look deeper in the numbers. Maybe Danny Valencia and Joey Gallo, depending on who's in that, or even Mike Napoli. These are on 2 different tabs, so Napoli's hitting 200 against him. Against right. Felix Hernandez, so probably not going to go there. But Joey Gallo's in play. Carlos Santana, possibly. But Eric Hosmer has fantastic numbers against a ball, though. So.
Yeah, I wanted to throw out two. Jose Abreu, great matchup against Marco Estrada and the Toronto bullpen. I mean, they got absolutely lit up by the Angels all weekend. And, you know, again, that's not the, exactly the greatest hitting team, so I don't mind that. Lucas Duda, again, I mentioned he has, you know, the splits aren't exactly that great for him against Morton, but he has hit Morton well over the course of his career, so keep that in mind. One thing, here's an interesting one, Ryan Zimmerman. So the Marlins are going up against Jose Urena tonight, and this guy's just got an absolutely devastating two-seamer, and it's been a pain in the ass for lefties all season long. But, you know, righties, I feel, are going to have more success against him if he leaves that two-seamer over the mat or over the plate. So I believe, I'm pretty sure it's going to be Zimmerman in the lineup tonight, since Adam Lind got that second he got the start in the second game in the doubleheader last night. But watch out for Zim tonight.
Adam Lind started both games yesterday.
Did he?
Yes.
What
one was in
the hell?
Left field. One was in left field. One was in right field. Or
oh, okay. All right. Well. Hey, at least Zimmerman started one of them, so let's not get crazy. Also hit a bomb yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that's all I got. Good?
Yeah.
All right. We didn't even mention the Indians' first baseman, but both of them hitting pretty well lately, Carnacion and Santana. So
keep them. I mentioned Santana.
You did? All right. Yes. I was probably watching something else. Second baseman, what do you got?
Not Jose Altuve. Jonathan Scope, actually, 478 ISO versus left-handed pitching over the last 30 days. Absolutely just crushing the ball. I know it's Danny Duffy. I know it's in KC, but if I'm going somewhere in Baltimore, that would be my first shot.
Okay.
So, just because of the way he's been hitting the ball. I don't know what BVP is. I have not really studied the BVP today yet, so
Scope on Duffy.
Yeah, I like I said, I haven't really studied it a lot.
Four for 12, all singles, four strikeouts.
That's not that bad, but it's not great. No. Whit Merrifield's been hitting the ball pretty well too. At the top of that lineup, he's all the way up to 3,700 on FanDuel. I don't know if a lot of people are going to go there. So if you're going with a Kansas City stack, if you find some stuff at the top of that lineup, you could go with a Whit Merrifield, Eric Hosmer. Let me see here. What's that projected lineup? This is in Baltimore, so it's even better.
Yeah.
Jorge Bonifacio, Eric Hosmer, Lorenzo Cain. You could go with that top four. You could skip the Bonifacio and go Merrifield, Cain, Hosmer, Perez, or you could skip Kane and go Merrifield, Hosmer, Perez, Moustakas. So there's a lot of different options up there.
This is a significant ballpark upgrade for the Royals today. And, you know, I know that they're facing Ubaldo Jimenez, but I would think all week that they're going to be a nice play here in Baltimore, whoever they're throwing. If Jeremy Hellickson is starting one of these games, even better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see. Yeah, I don't mind all those guys. Robinson Cano, surprisingly, has a good history. Lefty-lefty on Cole Hamels. He's only 3,200. Looking for him to break out of his little funk. Jose Cruz did it yesterday for the Mariners with that massive first-inning shot. Wondering if Cano can do the same here tonight.
Mancata.
Yeah, 2,600 there.
Holy
going up
crap.
Against Marco Estrada.
Did you see the trade that came through?
I did not.
Francisco Laureano to the Houston Astros.
Wow. Why would they do that?
Well, I mean, we talked about, you know, they have access to the DFS Army ballpark factors is why they do.
That's right. I did say Altuve's name roll across on the subscriptions this month. I did see that. All right. Again, Jose Ramirez has been swinging pretty well here, 3,600. Again, Fenway Park, not exactly the greatest park for left-handed power, but this guy can hit it to all fields. So, yeah, I'm not too worried about him. He hits the gaps, might even be able – you know what there's been an inordinate amount of homers by the pesky pole here in Fenway Park over the last couple of days. Have you noticed this?
No, because I haven't watched baseball in the last couple of days.
A ton, like, I'm maybe like over the last
week. I plugged out
or
of
two.
Baseball because I'm about to dive in like hardcore for live final prep.
Gotcha.
Gotcha.
Well, so these are the things you kind of know. Are they going to be in Fenway on that particular Sunday? Because you could use pesky pole to your advantage with the way that they've been going.
You know, I wrote down the slate already, but I don't know what game. No, they're the Boston or the Red Sox play the Yankees that night, and it's a Sunday night game.
Goodness.
I don't know where it is, but I know the Sunday night game's probably not going to be on the slate.
Gotcha.
And until I get an itinerary from FanDuel, I don't know what games are going to be on the slate. And I know that we won't have to deal with Coors Field because the Rockies are in Miami.
Fine, it's not on the slate. But, again, for tonight, pesky Paul, been getting a lot of action down there in Beantown. Beantown! Good. All right, third baseman.
Rafael Devers, maybe. I've already mentioned my love for the Royals. Mike Moustakas, I think, is a good option. Oh, yeah. Matt Chapman has the ability to go yard. And somebody that's sneaky, if you want to punt, and if he's in the lineup tonight, since Eduardo Nunez got traded, Connor Gillespie has come up and absolutely just raked lately. So depending on what the pitching situation in Oakland is for the A's, that might be something to watch out for.
Interesting. Yeah, he was almost a hero for me last night in the short two-gamer, but...
Gillespie?
Yeah. Well, I'm not, you know, like he would have given Bumgarner the win and, you know. Gotcha. The Dodgers, that's the third time this week the Dodgers have clipped me from making good money. I hate them. I hate them, Keith. Much like we were talking about with Ryan Zimmerman earlier, I like righties against Jose Urania. So Anthony Rendon, I'm sure he's going to be a very, very sneaky play. You know, Moustakas against Ubaldo Jimenez is the much better matchup, but I could see Rendon having a pretty good night here, along with the rest of his Yankee compadres. Jose Beltre, or I'm sorry, Adrian Beltre has absolutely terrible numbers against Felix Hernandez, so I wouldn't go that route. Josh Donaldson against James Shields, that could be interesting if they finally get their act together. That's all I got. I don't have any sneaky. I like the Matt Chapman play, though. Ryan Healy, too. But by the way, I mentioned this in the Slack chat. On Saturdays, Ryan Healy, automatic plug and play. He's hitting like, I think now he's probably got to be hitting like 440 on Saturdays. I don't know what it is. The man loves weekends.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm not even kidding. Like, he's literally the best hitter in the majors on Saturdays this season. I don't understand.
But. That's hilarious. I'm going to need you to pull up the stats for Sundays.
We did it yesterday. It's hysterical, like, you know, because it worked with Healy on Saturday. But on Sundays, it's basic. Like, if you were on the All-Star team, basically you're a good hitter on Sundays this year. So.
Okay, so preface to predicting the All-Star team rosters next year.
Indeed. Evan Longoria, pretty interesting here. Again, mentioned the reverse splits against Charlie Morton. You know, he's only 200 less than Moustakas on FanDuel. But again, a good way to, you know, alleviate some of that Moustakas exposure, which is surely to be high.
I don't know how high it's going to be because Adrian Beltre is in Texas.
Yeah, but again, hopefully our people see.
Now, he might be high Army caught, but with Kyle Seager and Adrian Beltre in Texas, I don't know. Kyle Seager's sneaky because of the way he's hit left-handed pitching lately. He grades out really, really high tonight.
Good history against Hamels as well.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to take a sneaky, sneaky guy that a lot of your quote-unquote sharps are going to be off of, then Kyle Seager with the lefty on lefty is going to be very sneaky, in my opinion.
Okay. Let's go to – I don't have anything else with third base. Shortstops?
Donuts has been talking – and he killed us yesterday in the doubleheader, but Donuts has been talking up Wilmer Defoe.
Sure. What's going on with him? Bald.
Just the left-handed batters against Urena.
Which completely contradicts what I've been saying on podcasts.
Yeah, I know.
So. It's just something that I've watched Urena these last couple starts, and I've seen like that two seamer is just devastating. How it moves in on these moves in and then moves towards the plate on these hitters. Stat.
Hold on, I'm trying to pull up the stat that he had. He was talking about it earlier today. Of course, my computer Slack is not wanting to. Okay, so this makes for great radio right now.
Well, let me give a little tidbit here, but I mean, lefties aren't totally killing Urena, but righties, they're hitting 22 points higher against Urena this season. I mean, all the other wow. Numbers are very similar, but
your boy just had a crazy bat flip.
Good. On a ground ball?
No. He actually deserved the bat flip on this one. He hit a 3-1 home run.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, I'm not finding it.
Was it in the article?
No, it was in his channel. Oh, here we go. 462 WOBA, 378 ISOs to lefties over the last month.
Mm-hmm.
For Urena.
Gotcha.
So...
Again, I don't know, just watching the starts, it hasn't appeared that way, but
he's been very confusing to figure out, because if you sit there and you look at just his underlying numbers, he's got a 4.04 ERA, but he's got a 5.15 ISO, or sorry, Sierra. His WHIP is 1.28, but his BABIP is 249. You know, his line drive percentage is low, but his ground ball and fly ball rates, are bad. Mm-hmm. Like everything that all the underlining and advanced statistics say that he should be getting rocked continuously, start in and start out. The problem is that he's dominating the guys from the right side of the plate, and the left side of the plate are doing a lot of their damage. So it's very, very difficult to figure out what you're in. We were talking about regression in his channel. And somebody was asking, when does the regression start? And I'm like, well, the regression monster is very, very hard to predict because mm-hmm. of the fact that, when you're talking about regression, you're talking about over the course of a season. So like first half to second half. But you can't confuse, regression with bad matchup. And I think wow. The Nationals could be a quote unquote under that bad matchup type of option. So it's just, it's just different way of looking at it.
Because I know you guys are more like advanced metric, but you look at, all the basic numbers here and, like everything is more in favor towards the righties on Urena, like 20 extra base hits, 9 homers from righties to lefties, 15 extra base hits to 6 homers. Again, batting 22 points higher from the right side. And then, the OPS is 59 points higher from the right. But the on-base percentage is nearly identical. Slugging on the right side is a little up from the left side as well. But again, if this is more recent, then I guess that makes sense. But again, it's just, the last couple starts, I've seen with Urena is this two-seamer. It's nasty.
It might be nasty, but it's still getting hit.
I guess. Well, so, guess one of us will be right tonight. So.
Well, yeah.
It's not even about being right. It's just, seeing what I'm seeing. So, what position were we talking? I forgot. Third base? Were we shortstops?
Yeah, shortstop.
Shortstops. Didi kind of came back to earth over the last couple days, especially after touting him so much. So, thanks, Didi.
Gene Segura, Francisco Lindor, Marcus Semien. It's shortstop. It's, you could go Marwin Gonzalez, but we've talked about the Astros and their offense at home. So,
Jesus. Brandon Crawford had a couple good swings over the weekend. Interesting to see if the third best hitting ballpark in the majors can help him out a little bit.
Yeah,
shortstop not too loaded. That might be the place to pay up tonight. Frankie Lindor going up against the Red Sox. Not a bad move at all. Fantastic radio, by the way. Yeah, shortstop, very, very unappealing. Very unappealing. I don't know. For me, I'm looking at that Semien Lindor Andrews sort of thing. Other than that, can't help you. Brandon Crawford, possibly. All right.
Brandon Crawford's going to be fluid, and that's just my feeling on the Giants completely. So
fluid.
Yes, depending on who starts.
Okay. Outfield. What are we looking at? Well, you mentioned your boy Chris Davis against Matt Cain. I like that.
Yeah. Nelson Cruz going back home.
He's going home.
Yeah, going back to jeez. I mean, outfield, Chris Davis. He's the only one I'm really, really, really in love with right now. Maybe Steve Pierce.
The King of the Grand Slam.
Matt Joyce, maybe. Michael Brantley. I don't like outfield today. Like, I really, really, really don't.
Here's one for you, paying up to be contrarian. And he's always low on Brett Gardner for the Yankees tonight. 4,100 on FanDuel. 12-game hitting streak. Raking of late. Last 2 days, not all that great, but again, his swing lately, as violent and as foolish as it looks, it's been on. I've been watching a lot of these Yankee games lately, so I like it. By the way, with the Yankees, because back in the day, back when the Phillies were good, one of the biggest Yankee haters of all time. So finally, I'm starting to come around to these guys. I'm like, all right, they're doing it homegrown via trades and whatnot, not paying up for all these, free agents making ridiculous trades at the deadline. And here they come again, being the Yankees. I don't appreciate it, but whatever. Good start to the season, anywho. I'm not liking the top here. Bryce Harper, Giancarlo Stanton, we mentioned his history against Gio Gonzalez. It's not a good one. Aaron Judge, he struck out. Don't quote me on this number of games, but it's a major league high. He struck out in games in a row. His swing is not correct at the moment. But we do know with Aaron Judge, all it takes is some decent contact in Yankee Stadium for it to get out. Just, I don't know if I'm going to pay $4,700 for it. Justin Upton had himself quite a day yesterday. Here's one to avoid as well. Josh Reddick against Alex Cobb. I know it might be tempting to roll with these Astros bats today. However, Josh Reddick against Alex Cobb, 1-for-18 with 6 strikeouts. So avoid that one.
Yeah, I would definitely avoid it.
BVP is your. Oh, here's the one that we missed with the outfield. Jose Bautista against James Shields over the course of his career has owned the man. He is 10-for-34 with a double, 5 home runs. 5 home runs against James Shields, 5 walks, 9 strikeouts as well. But as you were mentioning earlier in the show as well, too, Jose Bautista looks like a damn fool at the plate nowadays. A damn fool, Keith.
There you go.
Where's our cheap outfielders coming from?
Astros, Zach Britton.
Okay. I like that move. What's great? Their bullpen, like at the beginning of the season, was just absolutely lights out. Lately, they have been terrible.
Terrible. So.
All right. Let's see. Taking a look at cheap outfielders. Brandon
Lurie
Moss.
Garcia.
Okay, he can work. Brandon Moss, too, against Waldo Jimenez. Ezequiel Carrera, huge day yesterday for the Blue Jays. Would not be surprised to see him back in the leadoff hole. 2,200 on FanDuel, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of hasn't done a lot this year, but recently he's been hitting the ball a lot better, so I could see that. Steve Pierce, maybe, 2,700. There's not a lot of – I mean, we're going to have to wait to see how the lineups come out, but there's not a lot that's going on.
I want to welcome back Corey Dickerson to the face of the earth. He actually made contact this weekend in Yankee Stadium. So, you know,
did
maybe
he have a home run?
He did.
Okay. I thought I saw that somewhere.
Yeah, one of the games. But he was making contact this weekend. It was fantastic. So maybe he does have pretty good numbers against Charlie Morton as well. So he's only 3,000 on FanDuel. So this could be an interesting time to get back on the horse. It's going to happen. I mean, Dickerson was just so good in the first half. It's coming back around, folks. When? I don't know. But, you know, baby steps, my friends. He did make contact this week. I know. It's contact. It's a major leaguer. We shouldn't be talking about it. But, and then I didn't even realize how cheap Bautista was. But 3,300 with that great BVP could be a little more intriguing. Oh, yes. Melky Cabrera, 2,700. Now a member of the Royals against Ubaldo.
Nope. Do not play him. He will not accrue fantasy points.
Really?
He is not listed as a Kansas City Royal.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, I guess he is. I guess they changed that last night.
Come on, man.
Because on DraftKings, you get notifications that these guys, like Jonathan Lucor, that trade was done yesterday too, but you know, he's still in the player pool on DK.
Well, look, we're talking, you know, you're comparing apples to cantaloupes here, okay? We're talking FanDuel. They're up on their stuff nowadays. The pricing.
No, they're not. They don't have Mike Avilas in the freaking player pool.
It's Mike Avilas, all right? Come on. We're talking about Melky Cabrera's in the pool, all right? That's what I'm talking about. You play on DraftKings where they have Mike Avilas and no Melky Cabrera.
No, they have Melky Cabrera.
Melky Cabrera on FanDuel, all right? Mike Avilas. Come on, man. Come on. It's poppycock.
Okay.
Nelson Cruz, not too not too expensive here on FanDuel, 3,600. Again, that's all I'm gonna say, folks.
Yep.
All right. I guess that'll do it for us on today's show. Kind of an auspicious ending to the show, but hey, guess what? We're good people deep down inside. Again, you like what you heard? Try us out for 7 days by using the promo code WIN, WIN on DFSArmy.com. And if you like what you heard even more and you just want to sign up with us, use the promo code PODCAST. Gets you 20% off each month of your subscription. So definitely check that out. And got some interesting happenings going on for all our MLB members today. So if you're in the Slack chat channel, check it out. If you're not, well, I got no news for you then. So you can come check us out. Again, you can use the WIN code for 7 free days and see what it is. Not giving it all away on the podcast, folks. But for me, Keith, rest of the DFS Army team, we go.
Peace out.